It's called life. It's called tough luck. Give you some time to change it up a little bit. Improve on it, maybe. If you can. No, before we start, I'd just like to want to thank you guys for this amazing, amazing time that we've had here. This is my last time speaking to all of y'all, so I'd just like to take this opportunity and relay mine and my wife's and my kids' the love and appreciation for all that's been you guys done and have been doing and have done all of these years, and all this is just amazing. I can't believe I've been on the mission field almost 20 years already, 19 years I've been on the mission field. So I just was upstairs a moment ago with Brother Brian. Magda was reading some Polish verses for Brother Brian. He was recording. And I remember 19 years ago, I walked up those steps to have a meeting with the three elders. 19 years ago, and I was like walking up and my heart was pounding, and those steps seemed to go getting further. The door just kept getting further and further away. I knew what was on the other side of that door. Three elders sitting just waiting for me to come through that door. I was like, oh. So, no, but it was an amazing, it's been amazing, this whole thing. And I just want to thank God for His mercy for allowing me to be part of a ministry that is beyond me. A ministry that I can have something in, and believe me, you guys have the greater portion of that ministry. It's because of you guys that we are there and still there and able to function there day in and day out. It's just an amazing thing. I just want to thank God for what He has done for me, and thank you for you all for your faithfulness, supporting us, loving us, praying for us each and every day. I just want to just make sure you guys know that we do not take your love and your prayer and your offerings lightly. It is a big, big thing for us, and we definitely greatly appreciate it. And we covet your prayers continually. And Olsztyn will be a little bit harder. Seems for now, we don't know. We've only been there a year. We've only started our meetings in October. When we started actually having meetings, we haven't won any one of our own yet. But hey, something can happen tomorrow. Amen. Something can happen when I get back and we start going out and start, maybe some of the brothers start witnessing, and I don't know what may happen. God, only God knows. And we're just going to keep on keeping on and just see what the Lord has in store. Amen. For us. All right. Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21, we'll start from verse 6. Says, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered, said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. O, my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he called to me out of Sire, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for this evening. Please open my mouth, Lord, open my mind, and help me to speak your words, Lord, words that have an impact. Oh, Father, I do pray that you be with us. I praise you for what you have done already and blessed me during this conference, Lord. I praise your name and glorify your holy name. May your name be always praised in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Watchmen, what of the night? It's an interesting question. What of the night, watchmen? A watchman has a very interesting job, doesn't he? A watchman is very important, very crucial, especially in the times when we did not have any kind of alarms or warning bells or anything like that. You had a watchman on the top of a wall, looking out and making sure the coast was clear. Everything was safe. Now, a city walls had the two forms of protection. One was the wall, and if you read Joshua 6:1, you see how much the people relied on the wall. They relied on that so much that they were like, it's impossible for them to come in here because our walls are so great. Well, we know that God is greater than walls. Amen. We know that God is greater than what man thinks is impossible. So God showed him otherwise. The wall was a separation from the, separated the city from danger. And the watchman stood on the wall and he kept watch and was there to warn the city of any dangers that might come. But without the watchman, the city was blind from danger. Really. If you think about it, if the watchman did not do his job, a potential enemy could creep up and could take the city with them not even being aware of the fact that they were even there. So the watchman had a very crucial job to do. It was his mission to keep the city safe and to warn. Verses 6 tells us of some very important things, aspects, duties of a watchman. You have here verse 6 and verse 8, actually. Verse 6 says, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." And then verse 8 says, "And he cried, A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights." So there's a couple interesting things about this. First thing, he says in verse 8, "I stand continually upon the watchtower." Now, a watchman had an obligation to stand, not to sit. He had no chair. There was not a job for him to sit and relax and just enjoy the evening and enjoy the view at the top of the tower or at the top of the wall. His obligation, his duty was to watch. His duty was to stand there and make sure everything was safe. And warn if something bad was to come. To stand. And it says in Habakkuk verse, in chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." Stand and watch on the watchtower. That's your job. Stand and watch. He was not supposed to sit and take it easy in a lazy boy. He was not to sit and just and watch TV and just enjoy because he has a ticket to heaven and now he can just sit and just rest and have everything easy. His job was to stand and watch. Stand. We need strong men. 1 Corinthians 16:13, what does it say? "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Amen. Stand fast in the faith. Amen. Stand strong, prepared, knowing what the dangers are coming, knowing it is not easy to stand. Now, I know a lot of people here who have back problems like me and Trevor and some other. We have a problem with sitting, and it hurts, and we have to stand. And sometimes we'd rather stand than sit, but a lot of times it's the opposite. We'd rather sit than stand. We'd rather sit and rest and kick our feet up in the air and just have a good old time and take our boots off. Not worry about anything. But watchmen had obligation to stand. And we need strong men who are able to be watchmen and are capable of standing fast in the faith. The second thing, he was to watch. The most important duty of the watchman was for him to watch. And it says here, he says, "Set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." But then it says, "My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower, the city day and time, and I'm set in my ward whole night." Excuse me, I skipped something. Well, I missed something here real quick. Anyways, "Behold, here cometh a chariot of men." And he says something later on. He says, I missed it. I'm not sure where I missed it. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. Yes, there you go. He was watching with much heed. He was taking care. He was very diligently looking and making sure the coast was clear. Right? So that's very important to be watching, right? He was to be in a place, and his place, he was to watch. He was to not turn his back to the enemy. He was not to look and see what's going on inside the city, be distracted, right? Oh, because we can get distracted very easily. Oh, I hear some sort of fun and games. I heard they're playing. There's some sports going on inside the city. I want to turn around and see what's going on. watchman, it was not his duty to watch what's inside the city. His duty was to watch what's going on outside of the walls, to prepare and make sure everything was safe. Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." It is the Lord that gives us the strength to do what is impossible for other men. The Lord gives us strength. Is it this? The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, right? Except the Lord keep the city. It is His city. It's His place. We are just the watchmen. We are to do His responsibility, His job, the job of His city, to make sure that we are taking care of what we need to take care of as watchmen. And of course, the third thing that was important, he was to warn if he saw anything approaching or not. He was to give his report to the people within the walls. If they asked, what is the condition outside? We don't know what you see. What do you see? I see the coast is clear, or I see danger. I see we must be prepared for a siege or something. When trouble arose in the distance, he was to lift up his voice. Right? Lift up his voice and shout and make sure people heard him. Amen. He was not to whisper, danger, careful, get ready. People get angry. Why do you preach on the street so loud? Because we are watchmen telling people the danger to come. Amen. We must scream it. We must yell it. We must be loud. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Right. We should not be quiet when it comes to the dangers that are approaching us. Now, the case, if we are quiet, maybe it's possible that we are not being very good watchmen. Amen. And we do not know the danger is coming, so we are not warning anybody, and we are not prepared. Amen. The Bible says we must be watchmen. We must watch, stand fast, and warn. Tell people of the danger to come. Are we doing that? Are we warning people? Are we crying aloud? Are we sparing not our voice? Are we worried I might lose my voice? Are we worried I might lose a little reputation? I'm worried about what people think of me. Are we worried about that? Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Trumpets are not soft. It's the reason why they use them in the army. To wake you up. To give you a signal so that you can hear it. Either way. Isn't that what Joshua did? Isn't that what Nehemiah did when they were building the wall? Here, there's trumpets supposed to sound, and what happened? People heard it, and if they heard it, they would come to that place where the trumpet was and help out. The trumpet, how we're supposed to show and tell people. He says, "Show my people their transgression. Shout it, show it to them, and the house of Jacob their sins." Are we doing that? Are we crying aloud? In Hosea 8:1 it says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." Trumpet, make loud, show, tell people, get out there, be a watchman that is ready, that is standing, that is watching, and that is a warning.
Amen.
Three aspects. Incredible, incredible net lesson for us about a watchman. Amen. Stand, watch, and warn. Can you get any more simpler than that? Can we get any more basic than that? Stand, watch, warn. Are we doing that? Unfortunately, I can say for myself, sometimes I'm not doing that. There are times when I am not a very good watchman, and I let the enemy creep up on me, creep up into my life, creep up into my marriage, creep up into our churches. Because if there ever was a time when watchmen was needed around this world, in our churches, in our homes, in our families, in the schools, in the community. Is it not now? Is it not now when we need watchmen who are capable, strong in the faith, who are able to stand up to see what's happening, to watch what's going, and warn people who are not scared of what the people may say? Not scared what the school board may say. Not scared what's going to happen in my neighborhood if they hear me preaching or knocking on the door. Not worried about my reputation, but knowing I must tell someone. I must warn someone of the danger to come. We need people of discernment who know the word of God, who are able to stand, watch, and warn. Because what did the Bible say about the devil? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion. Our enemy is right outside of these walls. And if we are not warning people of that enemy and telling them he is a real person, he really does exist. It's not some figment of someone's imagination. Of course, he's not in that imagination as people think of as a little devil with a tail and, you know, out there just, I'm going to mess you up. Oh, no. He's much more subtle than that. He's much more subtle than that. Bible says he comes in as an angel of light.
Right.
Oh, he portrays himself as something pure and something innocent and something good. But are we good watchmen who are ready and notice the difference between what is false and what is truth?
Right.
Are we going to let the enemy slip in with us not even being aware that the enemy slipped in?
Amen.
The enemy is out to attack us, brothers and sisters. He wants us destroyed. He is doing everything he can to invade our everything, our churches, our homes. He wants to change our Bible. Oh, he's trying. Oh, we have, in Poland, suddenly, the moment when Dad and Brent decided to do the Bible project, suddenly, other people want to do the Bible project too. Suddenly, like, for years, nothing was happening, and suddenly, now, what happened? I don't know, but it's very suspicious what's going on there. What do we have here in the United States? How many types of Bibles? Magda bought for Jasmine a little devotional book for girls at Hobby Lobby. She calls it Hopi Dopey, but Hobby Lobby. At Hobby Lobby, and so we were there, and she bought a little notebook, and she's looking through it, and she goes, Josh, there's a whole bunch of alphabet in here. The Bible is, there's a ESV, there's a FBI, there's a CIA, there's a whole bunch of different alphabets, a whole bunch of different things. I don't know what these are. NIV, a whole bunch of other things. Yeah. The Message Bible, oh my goodness. I read a verse from the Message Bible. It was so pathetic. It was so pitiful. It just saddens me that even is in existence. Oh, but you know why it is in existence? Our adversary, the devil. Oh, he's there. He's a roaring lion and he knows exactly how to slip in. Oh, he slips in real smooth. If you're not aware and if you're not a watchman, watching, standing, watching and warning. You know, death is another one of our enemies. But with Christ, death, where is thy sting?
Amen.
Christ, he conquered death, praise the Lord. We do not have to worry about that as believers. But did you know there are people out there dying every single day? I looked at the statistics, even in English, my tongue gets twisted. In the U.S., there's one person dying every 11 seconds. Every 11 seconds, and as I was reading this, there was a timer going. Every 11 seconds. In the U.S., people dying. In the world, it's 2 people per second. Or 1.80, I'm not sure how they... 1.8, but I guess a person and a half. Person a little bit more. I don't know, but still, seriously, that many people per second dying in the world? Enemy, there's an enemy there. Are we warning them? Are we telling them, hey, I know who can save your soul. I know that there is an enemy, but I know that there is a way out. I have hope for you. I know that you may still be overwhelmed by all this and the burden of sin and everything going on, but I have good news.
Amen.
I am on the wall and I can tell you I see the enemy and I know how we can defeat him because Christ already defeated him.
Amen.
And I can help you if you just get into this city. Come on in. Come on inside. I will give you and I will show you that there is only one hope, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh man, can we be watchmen? Can we be faithful watchmen who stand, who watch and warn? Oh, I think we should be.
Yeah.
I think we all should be. Yes, we need watchmen in our day, but sadly I see very few who are responding to the need of a real watchman. People want just to be watched and not be watchmen. They want to be glorified. They want to be praised. They want to have a ministry that is visible and everything. Hey, you know what? And not every ministry always has to be something big and magnificent. You know where the watchman was? Way up high. Probably not even visible to anybody. All that they could hear was his voice. Watch out! Somebody's coming! And I'm pretty sure there wasn't just one. There were multiple people up there. It depends on the size of the city. You know, the watchman, he has interesting methods, doesn't he? We have some, in our text, we have some interesting things. He says here, verses 7 and 8. He says, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. He was vigilant in his watching. He was scoping every section. I don't know if you guys like cowboy stories. I like Louis L'Amour, Zane Grey books quite a bit. When I had time and when I was younger, I read quite a bit of those. But every time I would read it, you'd hear of these cowboys or out there, Indian fighters, who would observe the countryside from a hill point and safe, and they would observe every clump of grass. And they would notice if one clump of grass was not in place the second time they went around. Something changed. There was an enemy there. And they knew it by being observant and watching and being, here it says, hearken diligently with much heed. Meaning, this is an important job. This is my job. This is my responsibility to keep my family safe. This is my responsibility to keep my city safe. My responsibility to keep my church safe. My responsibility. These watchmen had a difficult job and they wanted to do it well. He saw, he hearkened diligently with much heed. He took great care in watching and great care in noticing everything he saw. The watchman sets a great example for those who would be watchmen in our day, doesn't he? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Watching, observing, noticing, being aware. The word sober, right, means multiple things, but one of the passages here is to be calm, collected, to be ready. Yeah? I am not going to be distracted by sounds, by sight, by the things that are going on. I am going to be ready. I am observant and I want to know what is going on the other side. He was even to alert at all times. He was to pay attention. If you could please turn to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. Leave your spots here, please. We will be back in a moment. 2 Kings chapter 9. Verses 17 through 20. And there stood a watchman on the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu, and as he came, and he said, I see a company. And Joram said, take an horseman and send to meet them, and let him say, is it peace? So there went one on a horseback to meet him, and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, the messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. Then he sent out a second on a horseback, which came to them and said, thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, he came even unto them and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. They recognized different people. They're able to recognize at a distance who was what? By the horse, by the way they ran, by the way the chariots, by the furiousness of their, or the recklessness of their, whatever it was, they were aware and they knew. They used their ability, their eyes, their intellect to be prepared, to inform before something happened. To inform, to warn. Aren't we warning people, should be warning people of what is to come? Aren't we, shouldn't we be warning people? Listen, there will become a judgment one of these days. You will stand before a judge. Are you ready to stand before that judge? Are you ready to stand before the mighty king and stand before him? And what will he say? Depart from me or enter in, my beloved son? Are you prepared? Are we warning them? Are we giving them the opportunity to change the direction of their lives now before it's too late? Isn't that what the warning is supposed to be? To prepare for something before it's too late. It will not help to warn them a day after. There is no need to warn something after it has already happened. The idea here is that the Lord's watchmen are not to get caught up in the excitement and all the things that are going on, but to really watch. We are not to be disturbed. We need to be prepared. We need to be vigilant. We need to know what is really going on and warn people before it's too late. And his warning wasn't only vigilant. He was vigorous in his warnings. When this watchman saw trouble approaching, he did not keep the message to himself, did he? He warned, listen, I see something coming. I see a horseman. I see camels. I see ass. I see something coming. He could have kept it to himself. That's an interesting thing. I'll just go on this way. Why are we keeping these things to ourselves? Why are we keeping the warnings just to ourselves? Why are we not better watchmen? All of us. And I'm speaking of this to myself. Why are we not better watchmen? And if you are, praise the Lord. Be that. And yet, and more. Warn even more. Even louder. Even greater. Vigorously. With all your might. With all your strength. Warn. Because the time is at hand. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we know that this time is coming to an end. It is getting closer and creeping up on us, and man, I don't know how much more time these people have. I don't know how much more they can handle. I don't know how much more God is gonna be gracious and wait. All I know is this, we still have today. We have today. And we need to warn people today. Today. While we still can. While the danger is still beyond the walls. While we still have the opportunity to warn and to tell people. He did it vigorously. He did it with all his might. Right? We turn to our passage. He says, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I'm set in my ward whole nights. He's standing there all the night. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to stay up all night? I mean, I know the young people, they, you know, they're, I'm going to stay up all night.
Yeah, 24 hours.
The next day, they're useless. Zombies. But they stayed up all night. He says, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watch in the daytime, and I am said in my ward whole nights. Man, this guy has stamina beyond. Whoa, are you serious? But can we do that? Can we be a little bit more, put more energy into our watchmen, into watching and warning people? Or are we thinking, it's just the night. Nothing will happen. You know, the night is when the enemy most attacks. Isn't that what happens at night? Lights turn off. What comes out? All the nastiness. All the disgusting.
Amen.
All the cockroaches. All the disgusting things, the immoral life, I knew immorality, there you go. See? You in English have some interesting words, that immorality, immortality. Immorality comes out, and it's disgusting.
Amen.
At night.
Yeah.
That's when we mostly need to be watchful. Oh man. As we watch the enemy approaching ever nearer the walls of our churches, our homes, our families, and our communities, we have a responsibility to sound the warning. But maybe some would say, what's the use? No one is listening to us anyways. We warned them. We're warning like Noah. Listen, there is going to be a rain.
A what?
A rain.
A what?
We don't know what that is. We've never heard of that. We've never seen that. But it's coming. I don't know what that is. And they didn't heed the warning. He preached. He preached, and I'm pretty sure he preached his soul out. He wanted them to listen, to heed. But I would answer that even though they may not listen to us, but I would answer that by reminding you that one of these days we are going to face our Savior at the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, we will give an account of how well we raised the alarm in our day.
Amen.
If somebody hears us or not, that is not the point.
Right.
The watchman was supposed to watch, he was supposed to stand, and he's supposed to warn. Whatever happens in the city is not his responsibility anymore. He warned. Man, if we could just warn. Let's warn people. Let's tell them what's going on.
Amen.
We don't have a lot of time. I'd like to go to Ezekiel 33. But let's just look at just a couple things. Ezekiel 33. I'm not going to read the whole passage. It's 1 through 9. But I just want to look at something. Ezekiel 33, 7. If we just look at that, we'll just read 7 through 9. So thou, O son of man, we got it, Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Which I know that this is spoken to the Israelites. I know that Ezekiel was to give it to them. But I see something that God really takes to heart of warning someone or not warning someone of their wicked ways. God really sees is a difference if you hold your tongue and don't tell someone, or if you say, tell them the truth, even though you may sound like a fool. He really makes a difference in that, doesn't he? He really does see that he really wants you to see it is important for him. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Warn them from me. Warn them. Tell them what in my place. Warn them. Tell them what is happening, where they're headed, which way they are going. Let us take heed to the certain signs of the enemy's approach. Let us really preach and warn and tell these people of what the danger is really happening. The watchman also had a message. Let's go back to our text. His message was plain. Because the question was 11. It says, watchman, what of the night? Like, what's going on? Right? Tell me, is everything all right? Right? When will the morning come? That's usually what you want to know, right? Watchmen, what of the night? How much longer do we have to be here, right? Is there still hope? Is there still hope for people?
Yeah, amen.
There's still hope. Jesus hasn't returned yet.
Right.
There's still hope. Let's warn. Let's tell them.
Amen.
The watchman had a threefold answer to this. He was supposed to speak of the dawn, right? He says here, the morning cometh. Meaning there comes a dawn. That moment when the sun, the day I was driving over to Stephen's house early in the morning, 6:30, and I saw the difference between the darkness, where it was dark and where the sun was coming up. Oh, I didn't like that dark over there, but oh man, that dawn. The dawning, oh that was beautiful. Seeing the sun come up, creeping up, and just seeing the light. Man, I can see what's happening over there. I don't like what I see over there. That's dark. I don't want a dark. I want light. He's spoken of the dawn. The morning cometh. One of these days, brothers and sisters, there will be a day when our Lord Jesus will return.
Amen.
He will return. And that day will be a beautiful day.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
For us. But what of them?
Right.
For us is a beautiful dawning hope. Glorious day. Glorious day. That the morning cometh. Surely I come quickly, the Bible says. Oh, come Lord Jesus. We say, so come Lord Jesus. But you know what? For us it's a beautiful, beautiful thing thinking he's going to heaven to prepare a place for us. We're going to have, and he's been preparing it for over 2,000 years. He built the world and created everything in 6 days. Imagine what he's preparing for us over there. It's going to be magnificent. For us, believers. But what of those who are not being warned? What of those who are not aware that there cometh a day when Jesus will return and there will be no more hope? There will be no more salvation in him through faith in Jesus Christ. What of that day? Because he speaks of doom. He tells the people that after the morning passes, what's going to happen again? The morning cometh and also the night. The morning cometh for us, beautiful. But then the night. There will be people who will die, wake up in heaven, and at the judgment seat of Christ, and God tries to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they're going to be in eternity in hell. Eternity. Can we not warn them before it's too late?
Amen.
Can we not warn them now before they find their way to death, and then at the judgment seat of Christ? Can we not warn them and tell them, you don't have to go that way?
Right.
I know of a better way. I know of the only way.
Amen.
All other ways are false. All other ways are wrong. I have the only way. And I want you to know, I know him personally. He knows me. He called me his friend. He's called me his son. He redeemed me. He can do the same for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Let's warn these people.
Amen.
Let's tell them before they wind up in hell. That is our responsibility as watchmen. To stand, to watch, and to warn.
Yep.
Warn them of the doom that is coming.
Yep.
They don't know it. They think everything is going great. And they even made joke about hell as a great place to have a barbecue. And they do, unfortunately. And it's so sad that they think of that in that way.
Yeah.
Don't you know? And I try telling them, don't joke about that. That's not a joking matter, and I do not laugh at that at all. I cry when people tell me that. Because they don't see the warning signs. They don't see the danger. They don't see what's going to happen. But I do. And it's my job as watchman to make them see it, to shine the light on Jesus Christ, to shine the light and show them, listen, I know of a better way. Your way is not going out very easily, is it? You're at the bottom of the barrel, aren't you? Why? You did your way. Let's try God's way. Let's try God's way for once and for all. Let's finally change our ways. But they will not know. Right? Isn't that what Romans 10:13 says? Isn't that what Romans 10:13 says? Because he speaks of decision in our text, right? Didn't he say that in our text? He says, the watchman said, the morning cometh, also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, you return, come. Man, inquire, ask. Man, if people would only ask. Amen. If people would only come. But let's look at Romans 10:13 through 17. Romans 10:13, 17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful concept. Whosoever. Open invitation. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or let's say a watchman. A watchman. Isn't that what he's supposed to do? Preach, tell, warn, stand, see what's going on, and warn. Preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, the Lord who hath believed our, but who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Oh, what a beautiful concept. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall be saved. But are we warning? Are we warning? Are we being those watchmen? It says here, how? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Who are they going to hear it from? The world? Is the world going to warn them about the danger to come? No. The world cares nothing about souls of men. Whose job is it to warn? The watchmen. The believers. Those who are saved, born again, who have the answers, who see the dangers and know, who have read Revelations. Have you read Revelations? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he will come soon? Do you believe he will return? Amen. We must warn them as watchmen before that time comes, before they die, before it is too late. We must be that watchman. We must be the right kind of watchman. I believe that every believer in some sort of, everyone should be some sort of a watchman. Some way, if it means passing out a track, if it means sharing your testimony once in a while somewhere, just warning. You just warned one soul. You're being a watchman. You're warning someone of the danger to come. Where are the watchmen, brothers and sisters? Will you stand? Will you watch? Will you warn? Will you take on that responsibility and do your job as a great watchman for the Lord? Amen. Amen. Amen.